This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. The cannabis tourism industry in BC is in its emergent stages. Entrepreneur Michelle Coswell operates Joint Connections, a networking platform, and Count Canna, and sees similarities between BC's outlaw cannabis cultivating past and Appalachia's underground moonshiner heritage.
Everybody that has fought the fight, they deserve that limelight. Yeah. They deserve to be proud, and we should all stand together. It's just an amazing feeling.
Coswell has found a kindred spirit in Nadine Furnell, a BC Craft Farmers Co-op director, based here in northern BC.
Oh, these guys that, you know, are used to hiding in the shadows, right? You know, the dirty little secret. And now, you know, we can freely showcase them and praise them, you know, for leading the path. And this is history. We are literally day by day writing history, the history of legalization of cannabis in Canada. It's exciting to be a part of.
We need to seize that opportunity and not let it pass. Because if we do not document it and make it like this, it's going to disappear. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be stories. And I'm excited to share some of these stories, because these guys are given a little bit of backdoor access to some of the things they went through and the difference now. So it'll be really exciting to share all that with everybody along the way.
Coswell is in North Delta, BC. And she's joining forces with Nadine Furnell as they embark on a Road Back to Legacy tour across the province, aiming to break down the stigma that surrounds the cannabis product and advocating for the industry along the way. The April 5th session in Prince George, BC, and the tour itself has fortuitous timing, as a number of cannabis-related regulations have been loosened up in the Federal Cannabis Act. These changes are perhaps most significant to the cottage cannabis industry, or micro-craft cultivators, that Michelle and Nadine represent through their activities with the BC Craft Farmers Co-op.
This is the first amendment to the Cannabis Act, hopefully first of many, and they came out on March 12th, 2025. The canopy limits went for micro-cultivation classification from 200 meters squared to 800 meters squared, four times the growing canopy. And
for those familiar with a standard imperial form of measurement, that's about 0.2 acres.
If you look at your growing operation as a saltwater aquarium, the smaller the tank, the more difficult and temperamental the tank is. The larger creates its own ecosystem. So there's many benefits to having, other than more cannabis, to having a larger scale operation. You know, you save in your, the hydro's the hydro, whether it's 2,100 square feet, it's not beneficial to anyone. And, you know, as we've seen over the years, is dozens and dozens and dozens of farmers have had to turn their lights off. So, you know, how we interpret this is the government has said we want more craft cannabis, and they've yet to define craft cannabis. However, the majority of the industry looks at it as that micro classification, not the standard grower and processor. So along with the micro cultivation canopy increasing fourfold, the processing, so the amount of cannabis a processor could process annually was 600 kilograms. It's now 2,400 kilograms. That's fourfold of profit as well, right? And probably not a lot of tweaks to those operations, other than space maybe. But, and then on the nursery side went from 50 meters squared growing canopy to 200. You know, that's great. They're fantastic. This is what we've been asking for years. It's fantastic, and we're very grateful that they've done it. However, there's still a cost associated. So there's various groups. The co-op is an example of one of them, and we're pushing for some of the excise tax to be returned to the farmer to help support them through the transition to get more craft cannabis into the market. And we're also working with Community Savings.
Community Savings
Credit Union, yeah, to see if we can develop some kind of loan or grant program. Every other industry has those supports available.
Okay, so Community Savings Credit Union.
Yes, that's a credit union. In the early days, you know, banks, insurance, nobody wanted to touch cannabis. Kootenai Savings Credit Union was the first bank to give realistic charges, not $1,000 a month just to put your money somewhere. And now Community Savings is a very big advocate for the industry. They've really opened the door for affordable banking options for the cannabis industry as a whole.
So that development is really key for the growth of any industry. To be able to borrow, establish credit, and grow your business is critical for anything.
Beyond financing, for an emerging industry to take shape in any community, government support really helps. To get an idea of where the municipality of Prince George sits on this issue, we spoke to Mayor Simon Yu. If we wanted to see the expansion of this type of industry within Prince George, perhaps adjust agricultural zoning around the city to permit the cultivation of cannabis products, perhaps have processing facilities, things like that, what would have to be done? What does council or the mayor have to see to kind of allow these things to step forward and open up?
It's a regulated industry, so I believe this is under the Provincial Agriculture Act. I don't think they're right this moment that we within the boundary of the city that we have enough size of agricultural land to specifically cultivate cannabis. But we have some land up in the airport. It doesn't stop people from demonstrating to the province that, you know, they have a facility. And then we do believe there are few around the region, you know, people are producing cannabis as a for-profit. Within the city of Prince George, maybe somebody might have a few pot of growing in the backyard. That's about it. As a cottage industry, I always believe, you know, in the resiliency of economy, the more product produced locally, consumed locally, and it is always good for the local economy because the money stay local. So like any type of a cottage industry, it is good to stabilize a local economy because of a little bit more resilience to a international trade shocks like we are experiencing right now.
If we were looking at the smaller cottage industry style of cultivation, right now I don't believe that's permitted within our agricultural zoning within the city. Do you foresee that changing in the future where this type of thing is permitted, at least on that small scale, within our own agricultural zoning?
Yeah, this is a conversation I am ready to have with the local Farm Institute, and they are based on the OCP review. They have indicated back in 2011, it was in the policy, the future OCP amendment, that we as a council should take a consideration of agriculture in terms of food security and local agriculture production. Now, whether this cannabis is particularly favored, this is for the council as a whole to decide. Having said that, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I would like to see, you know, more fertile agriculture land to be used for food production for the time being. But, you know, look around Prince George, we got a lot of area that if people want to do in the regional district, that there's a lot of acreage there to produce cannabis and have a large scale of a greenhouse. After all, we are the people who know how to use greenhouse to grow tree seedlings and whatnot. So local expertise is definitely here.
As far as our situation here in Prince George, Northern BC goes, do you see the aspect of cannabis tourism being able to expand or actually get a foothold in our region here? Is this something that it might be better suited to the lower mainland or elsewhere in Canada, perhaps?
You know, this is a lifestyle issue, right? I mean, what other activities that people want to consume cannabis? great scenery probably help. some outdoor activities, which we have plenty. We got a lot of lakes, a lot of rivers. This is something, you know, industry normally is a grew out of a unexpected events. And so the people, they find particular, you know, pleasure to gather together near the Fraser River bank or near some lakes and have a music festival. And these are the events, you know, they can inform the tourism to say some certain events taking place. But to initiate that, normally have to be the industry themselves. The people need to be organized, the industry themselves. They say, look, you know, we are looking at Prince George perhaps as a tourism destination for this particular area. But this is not for the city or for the mayor to say, we're going to say, hey, I'm going to promote this instead of the other one. Normally, they have to do at least a couple years. So we had one successful outdoor event for 20 last year. And if people continue to come in to do the event and expand it, and if we see there is more tourists from other part of the country, from the states, from all over the world, then yeah, of course, this might become a area that we can expand as a business. But having said that, you know, that no different from alcohol events. You know, people have a music festival, allow beer company to sponsor them. But this is industry-led kind of activities.
The wave of cannabis-related tourism industry hasn't necessarily arrived here in Prince George to make a big push. But if it does, the city is open for business in that regard, at least.
Yeah. Unless the council as a whole, for whatever reason, majority council decide that is not the industry they want, or that they're competing with some other industry, then, you know, then it's a call to the question. But so far, I have not see a big pushback or anything in terms of with a substance has been legalized federally and is regulated provincially. And so we as a city council, we have no right to stop. But to actively promoting it, then I will say this has to be let happen a couple of years to see what happens.
We return to Nadine Furnell and Michelle Coswell before they embark on their Road to Legacy tour across BC.
When we are looking at the cultivation of cannabis and looking at that as potentially an agricultural area that could be developed to strengthen our economy, you're seeing a lot of potential in that area, I take it?
And we're limited in you know, what we can do with winter being, you know, such as it is. I think that there is tremendous opportunities and you know, we're blessed, we have a very progressive city council, progressive mayor. The municipality has accepted cannabis as an industry and one that also can flourish into tourism. And the big kind of push right now is buy BC, buy local, you know, amidst this trade war going on, and showcasing BC products, BC grown. These are legacy legends. BC is known worldwide for best cannabis. Someone told me BC stands for.
Yeah, no, it's just a completely untapped territory. We are not recognizing, and it needs to be recognized, that cannabis is an industry that can provide so much with the local. We don't need to worry about tariffs. We're Canadian. Nobody wants other weed. Yeah. That's just not even on the table. So we've been given this showcase. We've been given the gold medal honors of the best in the world. And that is just an opportunity that is untapped. You look at Spain, they have Spanibus every year. They're showcasing. People travel and save every year to go to these world events. Why in the world does the number one place not take the opportunity to do this? Not alone is the cannabis beautiful, our province, our country is beautiful. Those things need to be tapped in together. We show beautiful wineries and countrysides. Those things matter in cannabis as well. And it is nothing but a missed opportunity when we don't take advantage of this, try to normalize it, and integrate it into our everyday lives, because everyday people are doing it.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.